But one of them I ran into once, and I talked a little bit, and I left, and I said, oh, I'll be back in a little bit, and I showed up again, and that time he said, hey, it's the second coming of Doyle, and I'm, yay, and he said, all the saints of God are rejoicing, and I said, well, good, I'm glad that you're rejoicing to see me again. He said, oh, I'm not rejoicing. I said, well, you're smiling. He said, well, that's true, but I'm not a saint. And I said, you're not a saint. And he said, no. And I said, the Bible says, and this is the definition of the word saint, is a saint is any person who is set apart for the use of God. This person is studied. And that person said, you're right. That is what the Greek word means. But I'm not a saint. And I said, you're a minister. You're a Christian. Aren't you set apart for the use of God? And he goes, that's what it means, but I'm not a saint. The next person I talked to is really, really upset. And they had called a minister and was talking to them. And that minister had said to a person I was talking to, God does hear, but he does not answer prayers like he did because we are not in biblical times. And that person was rather upset. They said, you know, I'm praying and I'm seeking God and I'm needing God's help. And this guy tells me that we're not in biblical times. Therefore, God is not answering prayers like he used to. He's not intervening in people's lives. And they were really distraught over it. And I said, don't worry about it. That guy's wrong. And they was like, and I said, listen. Peter in the book of Acts does this. He says, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days your young men will see visions, dream dreams, and your old men will... And it goes on. And he talks about this, and it's in the second chapter of Acts. He said, that is where Peter said, this is the last days. Therefore, we are living in biblical times. If we're not in biblical times, then what does it matter? If God only works during biblical times, then what about that 400 silent year period between Malachi and the coming of Jesus Christ? Are you saying God sat around and twiddled his thumbs and didn't do anything? You read the history. There's the Maccabean rebellion. God delivered the city of Jerusalem. God had all prepared for his son to show up. God always hears and answers his prayers. Why I'm saying this is for this reason. We must conform our thought to what the Bible says and not to what we think it should say. When it says that if you are set apart for the use of God, then you're a saint. I'm not saying that you're perfect. I'm not saying that you notice the halo over my head? They've got brighter lights up here now. You guys just thought I'd shine my head, but no, they put in brighter lights. But I'm just saying that is what the definition is somebody who has been set apart or has chosen to be a Christian, and all Christians are set apart for the use of God. Whether you act it, whether you're perfect or not, is immaterial. You are set apart and God will use you. I mean, look at Samson. He wasn't perfect, but he's a saint. Look at Lot. He is called the righteous one, and we know what he went through with Sodom and Gomorrah, and then when he went up into the mountains with his two daughters, and all that took place there, and yet the book of Hebrews calls him righteous Lot. So it's not a matter of being perfect. It's a matter of following the definitions that God says. And God says that he hears and he answers our prayer and he is very involved in our lives. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will go with us every step of the way. On and on. I mean, we can go on for quite some time quoting scriptures. But I want us to learn to find out what the scripture actually says and then say, that doesn't makes sense to me, but if that's what those words mean, then that's what it means. If it says believe, then believe is what I'm supposed to do. Now, I want to read some scripture to you and go through kind of what it says. John chapter 6, verse 26 through 40. Sounds like a lot of verses. And when I start reading, it's going to be in King James, so it's really going to sound like a lot of verses as I stumble through all of these, the thous and the wherefores. John chapter 6, verse 26 through 40. Jesus answered them. These are people who had come up to talk to Jesus after all these miracles that he had performed. And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth for everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then they said to him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Then they said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, that means truly, 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 I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I say unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me shall I lose none, but shall raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. I will raise him at the last day. What's going on is Jesus has just fed 5,000, 4,000 people. They have seen him. They've heard his teaching. He has healed the people. He has walked on the water. They have met him over there. And he said to them, You're not impressed. I've been doing these miracles. I've been showing you. I've been teaching you. I even walked on water and you all know it. But you don't care about the miracles. All you're interested in is this. Food. Food. There used to be some missionaries, and they'd go out and they'd give rice, and they were called the Rice Christians, not the missionaries, but the people that showed up. Because the people did not care, they just came for the free food. And so they were called Rice Christians. And they're like stray cats. As long as you were feeding them, they kept coming. It was a free meal ticket. And that's what Jesus is saying is to these people, you're just seeing this as a free meal ticket. There have been miracles performed, but you didn't pay attention to those. And they said, well, then perform us some miracles. And he's going, wait a minute, I've already performed enough miracles, and yet you refuse. And then he goes on to say, all that the Father gives me will come. All that the Father gives me will come. Congratulations, you're here today. All that the Father has given Jesus will come. There are other people gathered in other locations. There are other people who did not make it to this church today that are in some other church. There are people that are not here for various and unsundry reasons, and some of them are very extremely valid reasons. We're not on to that. But all those people who have been given to Christ will, that's the word, will come. Those who have been given to Him will come. And those who truly see Christ, not coming for the food, not coming for the demonstration of miracles, not coming for the music, not coming for the great preaching and the good-looking preacher, but coming because they want to see Jesus Christ, he's saying those people are the ones that will be blessed of God. All who trust in Jesus will be blessed. And it says in verse 37, the second part, let me read the whole verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The second part is him that cometh to me. That Greek word there means he that arrives at. It's not a person who pretends to walk in that direction. It's a person who arrives at a particular location or comes to a particular conclusion. And that conclusion is the work of God, that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Anointed, that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He said the person or persons who arrive at that conclusion, those are the ones who have been given to me. And I will not refuse them. He will not turn His back on them. So once you come to the place and you say, I believe and accept the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, I believe that, He says, I'm not going to throw you out. That is the security of the truster, of the believer. It's secure. Even if we have failure, He will not cast us out. Even if we stumble, He will not cast us out. Even if we fall, He will not cast us out. Because it says in verse 39, I think this is the proper verse, 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which He hath given to me, I should lose none. It is God's will that any person who comes to Jesus and arrives at the conclusion, it's not the food that brings you there, it's not even the miracles that bring you there. They might prompt you to come into the presence. They might be the things that drew you to the presence of Christ to begin with. But when you came to that position and you saw Him and you came to the conclusion that He is the Christ, He will in no wise cast you out. And that verse 39 said, the Father said that I should lose none. Once you've made that commitment, once you're there, He will not lose you. This is part of that, I am in my Father's hand and you're in my hand, I am in my Father's hand. We are not going to escape the grasp that God has placed upon us. Even though we stumble, even though we fall, even though we have failures, even though sometimes we say, I'm going to walk away for a while, He is still there. We've been talking about this over a period of time. Remember Jonah and the whale? He got in the boat. He tried to get away from God, but God prepared a fish. He knew what was going to happen down out there in the sea. He knew what was going to happen down the road to Jonah, and He had that fish already prepared. Even when we turn our backs and think we're getting away with something, He is preparing a situation for us that's going to bring us back to the location that He wants us to be in. And He said, my Father said, that I will not lose any. It doesn't preclude, though, that He will change us on that trip. And that's what sanctification is. Just because we got saved doesn't mean we stay the same till we get to heaven. It means starting right then, Jesus has the power, the ability, and will sanctify us for His use. And sanctification has the word saint involved in it. We will be set apart for the use of Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say in verse 39, all which He hath given me, I should lose none, but I should raise it up again at the last day. All. That is also including the heavens and the earth. All this is being given to Christ. And even though the earth will pass away and the heavens will pass away, it says, behold, that God will make all things new. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth. He will cause it all to come back to the position it was supposed to be on the last day, which will include us, those people who recognize Him for who He is, who have arrived at that point in our life and said, He is the Christ. In Him I trust. Remember, they said, well, what's the work? What's the proof? What do we need to do? And He said, this is what you need to do, is believe on Him who sent me. And then He's saying, I am the one that is sent. And they were supposed to accept Him, but some of them were just after the food. Some of them was after the show. Some of them was after the social networking that was going on around Him. And then it says in verse 40, it's confirmed, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that every one which seeth, arrives at that conclusion, seeth the Son and believeth on Him, may, and that word may in our vernacular means maybe see, you know, come and see, come saw. Maybe yes, maybe no. But that's not the way it comes across in the Greek. That means they will, this is the way it's going to be, have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews murmured at Him, it goes on to say, because He said, I am the bread and I came down from heaven. They had all these issues. They did not arrive at the conclusion, even though it had been prophesied in the Old Testament, that when the Messiah came, he would raise the dead, the blind would see, the deaf would hear, the lame would walk, the people who couldn't speak would speak. And he performed all these miracles. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. He raised different individuals who were had passed away. He raised them from the dead. And he even walked on water, something, and he calmed the sea. That's a big one, because there's a psalm that said, only God calms the sea. And there he was calming the sea. He did all this stuff, and they still said, no. We will not have this. They did not arrive at the conclusion. Therefore, they were not given to him because they refused him as their Christ. But if you have accepted him, if you have believed and trust in him, you will not be refused by him. You are a saint. You are set apart. We are living in biblical times. God still hears and answers prayers. We just need to pray him and trust that somehow, some way, he will get us to the position that he will show us his answer. Granted, with Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient. But that's the only guy I know in the Old or in all the New Testament where Christ said, my grace is sufficient, or buddy, you just got to suffer with this, but I'll take care of it. It could be that he will say to some of us, to me, Doyle, my grace is sufficient. That's fine. But at least he gave me an answer. And I know then, clearly, I understand that he will get me through. He will get me through the situation that I am in, that I am in. And truly, most of the bad situations that we get into are self-inflicted situations. It's something we have made a mistake. And even though he says, yep, you made a mistake, I will not refuse you. I will still hear you, because the sacrifice that Christ made is so perfect, is so wonderful, and he cares about us so much that even though we make mistakes, we stumble, we fall, he said, I promise, I will not lose you. I was talking to that first guy who is minister, and I said something to the effect of, well, I wish you'd get right, because the rest of us are waiting on you. And he goes, oh, I'm the 100th sheep, the lamb that walked away, and the 99 are waiting. And I said, yeah, and us 99 over here are wanting you to get right so we can get on with all this kind of stuff. Because he doesn't follow what the Bible actually says. He is trying to take what he thinks the Bible should say and then live according to what he thinks it should say. There are things in there, like I have said several times, I wish it said, but that's not what it says. Therefore, we have to conform our words, our understanding, according to what the Bible actually says. And when we do that, we arrive at these wonderful conclusions that he still hears and answers our prayers, that we truly are living in biblical times, because we are the church, we are the called ones. He is preparing a bride, and all this that goes on in the book of Revelation, it says, to write the things that you've heard, write the things which are, and write the things which shall come. Chapter 1 is the things that John the Revelator heard. Chapter 2 and 3 talks about the churches, the seven churches. And those are a representation of all the churches that exist on the face of the earth. Seven, the number of perfection. All these churches represent different individual groups of people who are assembled, and he talks to them. Therefore, we are living in biblical times, because we are living in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. In chapter 4, it says, behold, I was called up. And that's where we believe and understand that there will be a rapture, and God will call us through Jesus and the last trump and the shout of the archangel, and we will go up into heaven, and we will dwell with him forevermore. We will not be lost. We will not be refused, because we're not perfect. And even though we're not perfect, we're still the saints of God. Even though we're not perfect, we are still his children. This is just a note I'd like to tack on to this. We are like Christ. Not perfect, but we are like Christ. We are little Christians. We are little anointed ones. We are little chosen ones. And in the same way, we will encounter different situations that even Jesus himself encountered. Now, I'm not going to read to you Matthew chapter 4, because you've all read it, or you can read Matthew chapter 4 starting at verse 2 and go down through like verse 9. But in those verses is where Jesus is confronted or has the temptation for 40 days of the devil. Satan shows up and tempts him. And we only have recorded three times. But I'm sure that there was other temptations, because it says Jesus was tempted in all ways just like us. He was tempted to steal. He was tempted to lie. He was tempted to gossip. He was tempted in everything that we are tempted in our day-to-day lives. So he says, Satan says to him, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, because his angels will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Then he tries to buy him off, and he says, I'll give you everything. I'll give you all the kingdoms of this earth. I'll give this to you, and all you got to do is bow down to me. He tried to buy him off. Folks, we're not perfect, but one of the main ways that the devil comes against Christians, and most of them fall right there, is he says, are you really a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I know you sinned. I remember that sin. I can point that sin out to you. And we go, oh, he's right, I've committed a sin. I might not be the child of God that I thought I was. I am the child of God whether I feel like it or I don't feel like it. I am the child of God because I recognize the fact that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the anointed one, that Jesus is the chosen one, that Jesus is the Lamb of God who sacrificed himself for us. And I trusted in him, and Jesus said that he would not leave me, he would not forsake me, and he promised that he would not lose me or refuse me along the way, and that I would arrive at that place. I am a child of God, even if I fail, even if I stumble, even if I sin, I am still, and that is a fact, I am still a child of God. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you have trusted in Him, then you are a child of God whether you feel like it or not. Feelings come and feelings go. But the fact is, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, He will not refuse you and He will not lose you along the way. You are the child of God, and Christ will keep you, lead you, guide you, and direct you, and correct you if he needs to, but he will get you to that place. And if you happen to be little lambsy number 100, he will walk off, find you, and bring you back into the fold before the end of times. That is a promise that God made to us. Boldly go out, and when you doubt whether you are a child of God, say, nope, nope. John says, chapter 6, verse 26 through 40, that I am a child of God because I recognize who Jesus is. I'm not concerned about the miracles. And a lot of people go to these TV evangelists because there's all these promises of miracles. And I don't have a problem with God performing a miracle in anybody's life. But if you're only coming to a rally or to a church because you think you can weasel something out of God, you're going to be in for a shock. A lot of people say, I went there and I tried it and he didn't heal me. I went there and I prayed and I didn't get that Lamborghini. I went there and I didn't get the trophy spouse. I didn't get the trophy wife or the trophy husband. I didn't get what I wanted. There's no God. He said, I'm not here to do those petty tricks for you. I'm not into parlor tricks. But if you trust me and recognize who I am, I will hear you. I will answer your prayers, because you live, we live in biblical times, and we see it all around us, especially as we learn to trust and walk in Him. We will see the hand of God in our lives. If He can't cause us to question the fact, the devil, if the devil can't cause us to question the fact that we are a child of God, which the Bible teaches us, then he will try to buy us off. I'll give you all this stuff if you'll just bow down, if you'll just kiss my ring. You just do these things for me. I promise you, I will give you whatever it is you want. He tries to stumble us along the way, and I'm here to tell you, even if you do stumble, you will not be lost. Christ will come after you. He will hunt you down, and he will bring you back, pick you up, throw you over his shoulders, and bring you back into the fold. And he will keep you, and he will watch you, and he will not condemn you, but he will love you and enjoy your presence through all eternity. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to do what the Bible says, to understand and to seek the truth of the words of God, the Scripture that You gave to us. Father, always remind us that the Bible is the truth and we are living in biblical times. And we are what God says we are. We are what Your Word says we are. Even though we don't feel it, even though we don't see it, Your Word is truth. It's truer than the things we see sometimes in our life. All glory and honor to Your Son because He doesn't lie. And You've told Him that He will not lose us. And He will raise us again. And we're looking forward to the time when we actually get to see Him physically and not just by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.